What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness.
We have gone from justification to adoption, and now in this class we reach sanctification. Notice at the beginning of the question, or the answer to the question, it says sanctification is the work of God's free grace. Now, this is a very important distinction that the Westminster Shorter Catechism is making. In both justification and adoption, it says it is an act of God's free grace. Whereas now it's saying sanctification is a work of God's free grace. And that is because sanctification, as we saw a couple classes ago, is a process. It is an ongoing work of God's Holy Spirit by His grace in the soul of the Christian, where God is actually changing our character. He's actually changing our souls internally. So sanctification is describing that work of the Spirit where we grow in spiritual maturity. So you go from being a baby to a child, to an adolescent, to a young person, to a young adult, to ultimately middle age, and then a senior. Right? There's that process of maturing, of growing. And it's true spiritually as well. The Bible will speak of babes in Christ, children who are in Christ. And it's speaking of not necessarily little people. It could be 50-year-olds. But they're new Christians, they're babes in Christ. Whereas it speaks as well of those who are mature and advanced in years. And so one of the marks of maturity is spiritual discernment. And he says, some of you are only able to drink, the Bible says, some of you are only able to drink milk. Others are able to eat strong meat because through exercising their senses, they have learned to discern between good and evil. They've grown up in their faith and in the grace and fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the things that we see, is that the Christian, as he or she grows in Christ, they produce more and more fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes as a byproduct of the work of sanctification. So when we think of sanctification, we're thinking of a process. And maybe one way to do it is to look at it like this. Right? This is the work that's going on. It's not to say that at any point in your Christian life, you're not actually struggling. In other words, it's not like a straight line. It's not like this, right? A straight line. There are ups and downs in the Christian life. Ups and downs. But the overall trajectory is upward, conformity to the likeness of Christ, being made into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But if you stop at any moment in the Christian life, like let's say we just take a section out of the line here, right, and we blow it up a little so that it's like this, okay? At any point in the Christian life, you may look at yourself and you may say, I'm actually on a downward slope. I'm struggling. I've fallen. I've sinned against the Lord. I've grieved the Spirit. You know, I've become lazy or indifferent or not watchful over my soul. You see, there are these periods where we have downs as well as ups. But it's an overall process of making us into the likeness of Christ Himself. And there are really two sides of the coin here, two parts, if you will. And I'll give you the big words. We have mortification and vivification. Now, these are actually not too hard. The word mortify comes from the word for death. You speak about someone being mortal. So mortify means to put to death. So you're dying to sin. Vivify comes from the word life. And so you're growing in the likeness of Christ. These are two sides of one coin. In our catechism question, it says, we're renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. So vivification is living unto righteousness, right? These are the two sides. So in the process of sanctification, one thing is dying little by little, sin, and one thing is growing little by little, namely living in righteousness, likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So Christ is himself the image of God, of course, as the Bible says. You'll remember from our previous catechism questions that at the fall, man who was made upright, man who was made perfect and holy and without sin, at the fall, there were horrible things that happened. And you'll remember we distinguished between the broader aspect of what it means to be made in the image of God. We're moral, rational creatures. All of that continues after the fall. But we lose something. Mankind lost something at the fall, namely knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And it's that knowledge, righteousness, and holiness which is being regained in the gospel, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in sanctification, our whole man, our whole person is being renovated, is being transformed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit into the image of God. So that knowledge and righteousness and holiness are being worked, as it were, into our souls. So it means to grow as a Christian. It's sanctification. Simple as that. We're growing as a Christian, just as a tree grows up and bears lots of fruit, just as a little person, a baby, grows up into maturity, the Christian grows as well. Now, circling back a few classes ago, we outlined the difference between justification and sanctification. And I had 13 points up on the board, you may remember. And I want to come back to that here, because there's a mistake with regards to justification, with regards to sanctification, that has become all too common in our day and age. Let me illustrate it this way. All right, there are those who have, in evangelical circles in our own day, developed a different idea of sanctification. And the idea is that you can have Christ and be saved from your sins and go to heaven, have him as Savior, but not have him as the Lord of your life. And so they have this idea, you can have Jesus as Savior, not as Lord of your life. Now, we need to be very clear, you cannot divide Christ. You either have him or you don't have him. And for those who have him, they have the whole Christ, Savior and Lord, King and everything else. And so it's impossible to divide Jesus into two. When you have Christ, you come to Christ, embrace Christ, as we saw under effectual calling, you're embracing him as Savior and as Lord as well. John Calvin had another way of describing it. He said, when Christ comes to us, he comes clothed in his benefits. And so in receiving Christ, you receive all the benefits from Christ. So it's not possible to divide the benefits from Christ himself. You can't say, I want forgiveness of sins and I want a ticket to heaven, but I don't want, you know, this or that other aspect of Christ. So this is clearly a problem, but I want to show you how it relates to the doctrine of sanctification. There are those who say, well, you become a Christian, you walk the aisle or something else, but you say a prayer, and you might be a carnal Christian. So you're saved, but you're living like the world, and you don't have any interest in spiritual things, and so on and so forth. And then they have the idea that what's necessary is that you have this crisis experience. So they'll say, you come to the place where you commit yourself to the Lord, right? You're going to, in one way or another, surrender your life to the Lord. You're going to rededicate your life to the Lord. And then you become a committed Christian, right? Well, the Bible says absolutely not. This is wrong. Carnal means fleshly, right? There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. It's not as if you can go, a carnal Christian is not a Christian at all. They have no grounds for thinking that they're a Christian if they meet what is being the definition being described here. And the idea that somehow you reach a crisis point and then you get up to this upper plane of being a committed Christian is nonsense, right? Sanctification is a process that God takes us through. Now, there's another school of thought that follow, they use different words, but they follow the same idea, right? So the Higher Life movement, the Keswick movement, and other things like that, they have this idea, not so much of being a carnal Christian, but you're a Christian, and then, you know, you have a crisis in your life, a crisis point where there's this surrendering to Jesus. So I'm resting in Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, I'm dedicating my life to Jesus. And this second act of faith, so you believe on Christ for the first time here, but then there's this second act of faith, and this is what they call the secret of the Christian life. The second act of faith then enables you to live as a victorious Christian, right? So now you can live victoriously, you have faith, this complete surrender to Christ, and you're able to live, you know, in some cases, some of them would say, without sin, right? So there's the whole idea among the Wesleyans, for example, who believe that you can reach a state where you're no longer sinning. And it may last for a little period or it may last for an extended period, right? The Bible tells us this is not right. In Romans 7, Paul is talking as a very mature, very godly, very committed Christian. And he is saying, I, as a godly person, still have the presence of sin in my soul, and there's a war that's going on. The things I would do, I sometimes don't do. The things I wouldn't do, I sometimes do. And there's this war that's going on. He loves the law of God, and yet he also has this other law in his members that's waging war against him. And that's the Christian life. It's one of warfare, and of growing pains, and of battle, and of striving by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is working in the soul of the Christian powerfully to renew us, to transform us in our whole person into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. The only time that there is sinless perfection, it's not in this life, it's not through some second act of faith or anything else. Sinless perfection comes at death. So we'll see this in our catechism, where it tells us that the souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness. When we die, for the first time in our entire existence, since the time we were conceived in our mother's wombs, we will have the absence of sin. It is at death that the soul will be perfected in holiness and will have the absence of sin. So in sanctification, as in justification and adoption, we're brought into union with Christ, and I don't have enough time left right now to cover this, but we're brought into union with Christ, and in union with Christ, we receive these benefits that come from sanctification. And sanctification itself is a benefit that comes from union with Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in our souls to make us more like the Lord, to make us more mature. So it says, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness.